just because Halloween is over doesn't mean you parents out there can relax. If you're like millions of moms, you've got a child who just will not take off his costume. We've got Today Now's medical expert, Dr. Kareem Mazari, here to give us some tips on how to convince a stubborn little guy to take off his Spider-Man costume and start wearing normal clothes so people don't think he's a weirdo. And also joining us is my son Spencer, still dressed as Spider-Man. Spencer?
Hi, Mom.
So, Dr. Mazari, how can a mother convince her child to take off his costume, especially if she's already tried yelling, telling him that superheroes aren't real, that there's no such thing as heroism in real life?
Right. It can be especially hard for children with vivid imaginations.
Or if he's just stubborn.
Sure, but it's really a manifestation of the child's desire to inhabit the life of a character that they really identify with. Now, I'm sure Spider-Man is your favorite superhero.
Yeah, because he can do well like zinc, ping, pow.
Spencer, sit down right now.
Pow, pow.
Do you want me to yell at you in front of the entire country, Spencer?
I find the best thing to do is to try and have a dialogue with your child. Now, Spencer, why won't you take your costume off?
Because then people will know my true identity.
You're not even wearing the mask! People already know who you are!
Well, bargaining can work. Explain to
bargaining?
Your child.
Is it not enough that I say take off the goddamn Spider-Man costume? Now I've got to bargain with my own child? Jesus Christ!
You know. Woo!
Spencer, sit down.
Woo!
Spencer Heathcliff Gill, you
here
sit
I
down
come.
Right this instant. Sit down! Do you want to be put in the silence trunk again? You don't like the silence trunk, do you?
Okay.
I'm Spider-Man!
Spencer, sit down right now. Sit down, you little shit face, or I will break the rest of your toys on purpose. Do you understand me?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Injection, fellas.
Suicide. This is my voice. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And it's a fine line when you're trying to define the finer points of politics. Politics being a Latin word. Poly meaning many. Tics meaning blood-sucking butt lumps. But too many live in countries where it's bullets instead of ballots. Where gavels fall like mallets when held in the hands of those whose judgments can be bought as easily as children can be taught to covet. And the only ones willing to speak up are forced to live so far beneath the radar that the underground is considered above it. This is for the Ho Chi Minhs and the Michael Collins, the Marquis de Sades and the muted gods. This is my voice. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And this time it's for the sons and daughters who watch mothers and fathers drown in shallow waters while panning for the American dream in a polluted creek called the mainstream. This is for the homeless people sleeping on steam vents, making makeshift tents out of cardboard and old trash, trying to catch 40 winks in between the crash of car wrecks, risking their necks by surviving another day so they can starve, so that famine can carve their body into a corpse before their heart stops beating, so that men in a border meeting can make it harder for them to get welfare, healthcare. It's no wonder some of them pawn off their own wheelchair. And every time I walk by, I can't help but feel at fault that maybe I didn't search myself hard enough for the Control-Alt-S so I could save the world. Or at least this little girl curled up into a ball. I've spent most of my life throwing compassion back like a fish that's too small. I've got to cash in my reality checks, drop her some spare fantasies. Because I've got 3 separate degrees from different universities, but the most valuable thing I ever learned was to believe people when they say please. This is my voice. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And don't tell me there are no heroes. This is for them, the women and the men. For Helen Keller, who against all odds found a voice. For the choice Veronica Guerin made. For Martin Luther King, who stayed just long enough to share a dream with us. This is for that day on the bus with Sister Rosa Parks. This is for the Joan of Arcs, who believe even in the face of sparks becoming flame, the political game that Louis Riel refused to play. This is for the day the Dalai Lama finally goes home. For Dr. Jeffrey Wigand, who alone stared down big tobacco. For Nelson Mandela, who continues to go the extra mile. This is for the trial that finally found a man guilty of shooting Medgar Evers dead. For everything Malcolm X said, remembered by athletes who left the Olympics double fisted, for Arthur Miller, blacklisted, for calling a witch hunt what it was, for Galileo, locked up because he said the earth was round, for the 2 Live Crew who found a sound that got them banned in the USA, and imagine if we could still hear John Lennon play. This is for the someone who stood up today and said no, for Edward R. Murrow who shut down McCarthy, for Salman Rushdie, Mahatma Gandhi, you, me, this city, this country, we will always have a choice. When you stand up to be counted, tell the world, this is my voice. There are many like it. But this one is mine.
This is the conspiratorial view of history, as opposed to the accidental view. And it is the conspiratorial view that we shall present in this program.
Good evening. This is Admiral. Trouble. You got trouble in River City.
are the words spoken in the most popular musical comedy currently on the Broadway stage. Words spoken in an effort to convey, in theatrical terms, the nostalgia felt by most Americans for the 19th century. More important, for the 19th century values. The concern felt by parents 50 years ago for the way their sons and daughters spent their leisure time was a concern destined to echo in the ears of the 20th century.
If your hands aren't busy and you aren't working right, it's so easy to get into mischief and think of things to do that you shouldn't do.
Too much leisure time, a person can get idle and just sort of let himself go, get lazy.
Americans living in 1958 face an era in which all of the problems of the good life, including the uses of leisure time, can be, indeed must be, assessed as one of the most important parts of the hidden revolution. In the next 30 minutes, we intend to explore the possibilities inherent in a situation where most men and women may find themselves working in what our fathers would have thought a paradise, a time, a place, where an individual works a 20-hour week.
From Lexington, Kentucky, from Wilhelmina, Oregon, from Tonawanda, New York, the letters came pouring in. Letters of thanks to Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company for sponsoring the Hidden Revolution. Thus far, listeners have asked for more than 15,000 copies of Nationwide's free program discussion guide. Naturally, we appreciate the interest and thoughtfulness of listeners in writing to us, and we're pleased to provide these free booklets as another Nationwide service. But more important, the letters we've received from listeners are an indication that people want to face up to the problems that affect their lives. They're eager and willing to investigate, discuss, and express themselves on basic issues that affect our democratic way of life. Questions ranging from automation and its effect on jobs, to education, the nature of freedom, and the quest for peace. For these are important problems facing our society today, largely as a result of our rapid scientific and technological progress. Once the problems are made clear, ideas for their solution are not far behind. We hope these programs help contribute to better understanding of our changing world. Nationwide Insurance believes that as a modern business, it has a responsibility to help people find solutions to problems that affect both personal security and our way of life. That's why we sponsor this series, The Hidden Revolution. It's also the reason why Nationwide has established a participation program in which policyholders meet with management to discuss ways in which their companies can better serve their needs. For in a democratic society, both individuals and the institutions that serve them must work together toward the common goal of building a better, more secure way of life. Later, we'll tell you more about how Nationwide is helping nearly 3 million policyholders toward greater personal security.
These are the sounds of leisure. A bowling alley, a symphony orchestra, a high school football game. To most Americans, leisure is a sometime thing, an oasis at the end of a journey through the desert of anywhere from 40 to 60 hours work per week. But to the American of the future, leisure will be the way in which he spends a high proportion of his active life. For automation has made it possible to maintain and increase our national productivity with an effort only a fraction as intense as that to which we have heretofore devoted the national energies. In Torrance, California, the Longren Aircraft Corporation instituted 12 months ago a program designed to meet the American future in terms of our rapid transition to a leisure-acclimated society. The Longren firm's president, Hamden Wentworth, pointed his company down the road to the 20-hour week when he authorized a three-day weekend for the firm's personnel every month. Plant personnel were obliged to put in an extra eight-hour day to earn the long weekend. Nevertheless, the Longren experiment is the first which we can point to as illustrative of the trend to concentrated leisure. It is, in a sense, a laboratory experiment in the American future. We felt the long weekend to be so important a development along the road to a leisure-oriented society that it deserved a concentrated study. How did Longren's employees react to a three-day weekend every month? Surprising as it may seem, the verdict was not unanimously favorable.
Well, that long weekend was for the birds, as far as I'm concerned. That extra day, you know how wives are. She planned something for me. I either had to take her shopping, or I had to change the wallpaper, or I had to move the furniture, or I had to plant some new shrubbery. Always something to do. It was a terrible thing, just a terrible thing. Too long. A man shouldn't have all that time with his family. He gets tired of them. Three-day weekends, they were just too much. I'll tell you, by the time Monday night come, I was just dying to get back to work.
This is an aircraft worker's wife.
No, I don't like the long weekend. I have so much work to do around the house. When my husband is around, he just gets in my way.
Los Angeles International Airport is open this morning, but facing a disturbing mystery. For the second time in 24 hours, a dry ice bomb went off at one of the terminals. No one was hurt. Last night's blast comes after a bottle filled with dry ice blew up Sunday night. Two other devices have also been found, each of them in restricted areas. Now, terrorism is not suspected so far.
Softly, with the hush of falling leaves, casting shivering shadows on the houses through the trees.
All right, we are getting more details about how the shooting at LAX at the terminal there, terminal number three, how it unfolded.
Yeah, officials say the suspect was armed with an assault rifle and enough ammo to kill everyone in the terminal.
And we're told the gunman was able to shoot his way through this security checkpoint, make it all the way down the hallway here before he was stopped right there, close to a Burger King in the food court.
As word spread of a gunman on the loose, people ran for their lives.
Anyone on the floor! On the floor now! On the floor!
Chill, 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 chill! Come on, you guys. This is crazy, dog.
Well, police then chased down the suspect. They shot him several times in the chest.
And the light from a street lamp paints a pattern on my wall. Like the pieces of a puzzle or a child's uneven scroll. Up a narrow flight of stairs in a narrow little room. As I lie upon my bed in the early evening. Impaled on my wall, my eyes can dimly see the pattern of my life and the puzzle that is me.
This video was shot exclusively by CNN affiliate KCAL KCBS. It shows what appears to be the suspect, handcuffed to a gurney, arriving at the hospital. The FBI has identified the shooter as 23-year-old Paul Anthony Ciancia. He lives in L.A., but he's from New Jersey. Authorities say they found information on him expressing anti-government sentiments and anger targeted at the TSA. One witness said that he could hear the anger in Ciancia's voice.
From the moment of my birth to the instant of my death, there are patterns I must follow just as I must breathe each breath. Like a rat in a maze, the path before me lies. And the pattern never alters until the rat dies.
I stood up, was still trying to watch and see where it was coming from, see if I could see the shooter, but I never did actually see him. But I could hear him yelling while he was shooting.
What was he yelling?
I couldn't make it out. I was just real angry. I just really couldn't make out what he was saying. But it was English. It was, you know, just real angry voice.
So this is Paul Ciancia's family home. It's in Pennsville, New Jersey. Authorities say that he recently sent texts to his brother and his father, and those texts concerned them. So they called police. They're described as angry, rambling messages, venting about the government, his life in Los Angeles, and general unhappiness. Despite all that, people who know Paul Ciancia and his family say yesterday's shooting has surprised them.
On the wall where darkness fell, and it's fitting that it should, for in darkness I must dwell. Like the color of my skin, or the day that I grow old, my life is made of patterns that can scarcely be controlled.
Gunman may have been a conspiracy theorist. Federal officials say he had materials referencing the New World Order. CNN's Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr, she's live in Washington now. Barbara, let me ask you this. You know, do you know anything at this point what officials are saying about this?
Well, some information is now emerging. Our justice reporter, Evan Perez, has spoken to federal law enforcement official who says materials found on the shooting suspect did include a rant that appeared to reference that New World Order, as well as anti-TSA, anti-government claims. It's not clear what really gave rise to these references.
A New World Order.
We needed a New World Order.
A New Order of the Ages.
In creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
No! Stop it already!
Teachers who attend this prep football game can now bring guns to school or to events like this one. The St. Helens District in Oregon lifted a ban on staff members carrying weapons to school 2 days after a teacher was shot and killed at a Nevada middle school. On Wednesday, the board voted to reverse last spring's ruling, leaving some feeling more protected and others even more concerned.
I think if you had teachers with guns, you'd have a lot less rampages and incidents going as far as they've gone.
If a teacher shot a person in front of everybody in, like, the class, that would honestly scar me and not, like, that's not okay.
It's one of our biggest fears, not knowing who the bad guy is. That's the worst case scenario.
Staff members carrying guns on school grounds must follow Oregon state law and have the proper permits.
I know you sat alone so many nights waiting for me. Cold your face like a stone. I hang up the phone when we disagree. Standing there by my side when the fighting is done. Glaring at me in the light is my little toy gun.
It is a staggering new finding. 500 children and teenagers die every year from gunshot wounds, and that's according to a new report released today at a conference of the American Academy of Pediatrics. The report also finds that 8 of every 10 injuries from firearms are inflicted by handguns, and because of that, the doctors group says the national debate should focus more on the dangers of smaller weapons instead of military-style semi-automatic rifles. Meanwhile, the FBI is now investigating a heartbreaking story out of Santa Rosa, California. An 8th grader carrying a fake gun was shot and killed by Sonoma County deputies. NBC's Joe Fryer joins us now with more on this terrible story. What are you hearing, Joe?
Well, Alex, friends and relatives of the boy promised to keep protesting to make their voices heard. This all stems from a quick confrontation last Tuesday afternoon. Officers thought the boy was carrying an assault rifle. Only after shooting him did they realize it was a toy replica.
Always warm inside my home, but his handle is always so cold. Whispering into my ear all the lies he spun. My single greatest fear is my little toy gun.
For days now, friends and relatives have hit the streets of Santa Rosa, California, protesting the shooting death of 13-year-old Andy Lopez.
There's no justice that can compare to a little boy dying.
Classmates even walked out of school this past week and marched to the Sonoma County Sheriff's Department, where some scrawled angry messages in wet cement.
He wanted to go to college and have a career. He wanted to do something more and better with his life.
It was Tuesday afternoon when investigators say two sheriff's deputies spotted Lopez walking around with what they thought was an assault rifle. An eyewitness spoke to Lopez just moments earlier.
I saw the boy with the rifle in the left hand, and I'm telling him, throw that thing away because the police is behind.
Investigators say the deputy shouted at Lopez to drop the gun, and within 10 seconds of reporting the incident to dispatch, one officer opened fire.
For the day when I can save face and come to a happy home. I know it's turning me to the kind of girl I'd rather be alone. Just wait till I get my way. I promise you it won't be fun. If you feel like you should pray, pray for my little toy gun.
One of the deputies described that as the subject was turning toward him, the barrel of the assault rifle was rising up and turning in his direction.
Lopez was shot 7 times. Only after did officers realize the gun was actually a replica. At a news conference, police held the fake gun next to a real rifle to show their similarities. The sheriff is promising a thorough, transparent investigation.
None of us on any level wants tragedies like this to happen, and we are very sorry about this entire incident.
Lopez's parents have joined the protests, arguing like hundreds of others that the shooting wasn't justified.
He's dead. He's 13 years old, an eighth grader. Couldn't something else have been done?
In addition to the FBI, the Santa Rosa Police Department and the County District Attorney are all also investigating this case. So far, the names of the two deputies involved have not been released out of concern, officials say, for their safety.
This is the Pepperball TAC 700 launcher. It's tactical, automatic, and compact. This system, like the SA-200 launcher, utilizes high pressure in this forward-mounted bottle to fire the projectiles in conjunction with an electronic trigger. The electronic trigger is unique in that it allows the operator to fire this system all the way from a semi-automatic mode, just like the SA-200, all the way up to fully automatic mode at a rate of up to 12 rounds per second, and it sounds like this. One of the unique benefits of having that high rate of fire is it allows officers that are in situations where they need to deploy a large amount of the pepper powder, for example, in a riot or crowd control situation, with this high rate of fire, it allows them to get a large number of projectiles out there in a very short amount of time. This system, with the rotary device we have down inside of the feed housing group, ensures that there's a continuous flow of projectiles that go into the chamber, eliminating or reducing the chance of misfires for the officers out in the field. This system also utilizes a crossbolt type safety, just like all our other SA-200 launcher and SA-10 launcher, in that they can see when there's a red ring visible, they know that this system is ready to fire. The system, as you can see, is more compact So it's not as long as the SA-200, but it's just a little bit bigger than the SA-10. This system, just like the SA-200, can also be fired while the operator is wearing a gas mask, because the operator can pull the system away from their face as they deploy this, and due to the lack of recoil, they can simply stay on target with the gas mask and the launchers directly in front of them, utilizing their normal sight picture. This system can also be outfitted with a collapsible AR-15 style stock if the operator desires. In that case, they can simply brace it back into their shoulder just like a regular launcher would be if they want to have that contact with the launcher out in the field. This system obviously has a lot of unique benefits in that you can control the rate of fire. You have different types of rate of fire, including a 3-round burst option with this system. So it's a good option for agencies that are looking for higher firepower situations where they anticipate delivering a lot of projectiles, or situations where they want to have that extra psychological advantage when they deploy this in the field. Because as you can imagine, just hearing that discharge is a strong psychological influence on the people that it's being used against. The TAC 700 launcher can also be used in conjunction with our riot vest. This allows the operator to shoot a higher number of projectiles due to the added air and the ability to carry extra projectiles in the riot vest. To do that, the operator simply removes the cover on this bottle, on this high pressure air bottle, inserts the connecting hose to the high pressure air bottle itself, and the operator is now ready to go into the field and fire up to 850 rounds with the bottle that's attached to the riot vest itself.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast.
In the U.S., a 20-year-old woman has been left in a coma after being tased by a Florida police officer while handcuffed.
Danielle. Come on.
Doctors say the woman was left brain dead during the incident and will likely never wake up. Footage from a police cruiser dashboard camera shows the officer firing the taser's electric probes into her back. She then spins, falls backwards and hits her head on the ground. The Florida Highway Police say the officer was trying to prevent the woman from fleeing and has cleared the officer of any wrongdoing. Experts have, however, slammed the policeman's use of the taser, saying he would have easily been able to apprehend her. Amnesty International says hundreds of Americans have been killed in taser attacks by police.
Stand clear, don't man attack. You can't stand where I stand, you can't walk where I walk. Watch out, we run New York. Policeman come, we bust them off the park. I know this for a fact, you don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack, but you be doing that. I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be a officer, you're wicked overseer. You're hot shot, you wanna get cops and be a savior. First show a little respect, change your behavior.
Also on 7, a man with special needs left badly bruised after a brush with police tonight. He's showing the scars from what he and his family call a case of excessive force. The Night Team's Nicole Insalata live for us in Southwest Miami-Dade, where the run-in happened. Nicole?
Well, his name is Gilberto Powell. He is 22 years old and he has Down syndrome. He is very close to his family. He's slightly built. He's only about 5 feet tall. And he was here in his own neighborhood outside his house this weekend when he had an encounter with a police officer, one that left him badly hurt.
It's my son. That's my baby. I really love this little boy. He's my love.
So the bruises and cuts on their 22-year-old son Gilberto Powell's face probably hurt his parents even more. They were inside their Southwest Miami-Dade home Saturday night when Gilberto, nicknamed Lico, called on his cell phone to let them know he was walking the half block from a friend's house. Lico, by the way, has Down syndrome.
The police followed me.
The police followed you?
Yep.
Okay. In a car?
Yep.
According to the police report, a Miami-Dade police officer noticed a bulge in Lico's waistband, tried to conduct a pat-down, and Lico tried to run away.
Hard.
With his hand?
Yeah, hand.
Open?
Yeah.
Closed?
Hard hand.
The 22-year-old says the officer smacked his face with an open hand and knocked him to the ground. In these pictures, you can see the cuts, bruises, and his swollen eye.
I ran out the house, and my husband ran out the house.
He had him by the boxers because they took his pants off.
And then I said, didn't you know he was Down syndrome kid? He said, no, I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. That's where he could have seen it in his face that he was a Down syndrome kid, how he was talking.
I felt helpless because he was calling my name.
And that bulge in his pants, a colostomy bag, which the officer, the family says, pulled from his body. This from the Miami-Dade Police Department, quote, the integrity of the investigation and successful resolution of this case continues to remain our highest priority, end quote.
That's the sound of the police. 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 There's a little truth. Open up your eye while you're checking out the boombox. Check the exercise. Check the word overseer. Like a sample, repeat it very quickly and approve for example. Overseer, 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 officer, 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 officer. Yeah, officer from overseer. You need a little clarity, check the similarity. The overseer rode around the plantation. The officer is on patrol in our nation. The overseer could stop you what you're doing. The officer will pull you over just when he's pursuing. The overseer had the right to get ill. And if you're born trapped, the overseer had the right to kill. The officer has put a hole in your chest. They both ride horses. After 400 years, I've got no choices. The police, them have a nickel gun. So when I'm on the streets, I walk around with a bigger one. I hear it all day, just so they can run the light and be upon their way.
Her son was gunned down by police in Texas in a shooting that Utah mother said was unjustified. The shooting happened Monday morning just outside of Dallas.
Several witnesses, including the man's sister, tell Sandra Yee he was unarmed and running away from officers when he was shot. Sandra's in the man's hometown of Salina tonight. Sandra?
The man's sister says that he was not threatening officers, but he was running away because he was scared. That man was born and raised here in Salina. His mother tells me he moved to Texas to find a job and better his life.
He always made you laugh. There was never a dull moment when he was around.
She says her son was a fun-loving guy.
He always talked about his daughter. Always.
And a doting father to the 4-year-old girl wrapped in her arms.
I love you.
Did
Daddy loved you too.
On Monday morning, 28-year-old Clinton Peterson was shot by veteran officers during a foot chase in Duncanville, Texas.
Not aware how many shots were fired or who shot.
But was there crossfire?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I know shots were fired is all I know.
Police say they were responding to a call of a major disturbance. Peterson's sister says he was at her house that morning and refused to leave.
My friend had called the cops because she just wanted him to go home, you know, and to calm down.
Melissa Peterson says her brother was walking home when two officers arrived. She says when confronted at gunpoint, Peterson put his hands in his pockets and began backing away from officers. She saw one officer tase her brother while the other fired his gun. She says Peterson took off running.
They had enough time to catch him, but they just shot him in the back of the head. That cop was out to kill him.
She says her brother never threatened the officers. All he had was a cell phone. She wants the officer who fired his gun off the force.
If he's going to go out there and do it to my brother, it could be somebody else. And there's going to be another innocent soul taken.
Their mother just wants to know the truth, especially for this little girl who'll grow up without a father.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
these agencies more concerned about making money off the drugs than stopping them.
Well, at the center of this months-long investigation are laws that let officers pull you over looking for cash. And get this, they don't even have to charge you with a crime to keep your money.
A tractor trailer stopped for a traffic violation leads to a search and the discovery of large blocks containing almost $200,000 cash, cash that officers keep on the suspicion that it's drug money. In fact, Interstate 40 has become a major profit center for Tennessee law enforcement, with officers stopping and often searching out-of-state vehicles.
Is it okay that they...
It's okay, it's okay.
It's because of a state law that lets them seize money, like the cash shown in these police photos, simply based on the suspicion that it's linked to drug trafficking. If an owner does not take legal action to get the money back, the agency gets to keep it all.
I mean, this is really highway shakedowns coming to the U.S.
Hey, the reason why I stopped you was just coming outside your lane of travel. I don't know if you're getting sleepy or you're not drinking or you know.
So what was the reason for the stop?
I think he said he crossed the line, weaved over.
Yet our camera had been tracking that same supervisor and captured the exact moment that he put on his brakes just as he was about to pass the Texas vehicle. As you can see, it's squarely between the lines. For almost 2 minutes, the interdiction vehicle trails the SUV. And while the officer himself is all over the road...
That car wasn't weaving. The tape, it was not weaving. It did not cross the line. You're right. He never weaved once, yes. Did he?
No, he stayed within his lane of traffic.
Hey, Robert, how you doing today? Can I see your license, please?
And we obtained other videos from that same 23rd Drug Task Force supervisor, where he stops out-of-state drivers and never even tells them that they violated any traffic laws. Last year, the Institute for Justice issued this report, Policing for Profit, that gave Tennessee a D- for civil forfeiture laws that make it all possible.
Under civil forfeiture, you give law enforcement a direct and perverse incentive to go out and try to take as much property from citizens as possible.
Check out the message in a rough style. The real criminal are the COP. You check for hundreds over anyone DT. But just like me, a black man, they won't check me. They check out me, y'all, for it shine like the sun. But they're jealous of them next guy, they can't afford wood. Black people still slaves up to today. But the black police officer, let's see it that way. He wants a salary, he wants it. So it put on a badge and kill people for it.
It's a way to make money for your task force, honestly?
Well, you know, when you say make money, I guess it is a way for us to continue to fund our operations.
What we're doing, we're taking advantage of how the laws are, to use the money to be able to put back to fight the drugs. So everything's paid through seizures and fines.
So if these officers out on the interstate don't come up with cash, then they might lose their jobs.
Well, it's a possibility, yes.
Out here on the interstate, interdiction officers have a choice. Conventional wisdom is that the drugs come in from Mexico on the eastbound side, but the money goes back on the west.
We spotted both the 23rd and Dye staging time and time again with their backs to the drug side. In fact, a review of daily activity sheets kept by the 23rd discovered that when officers noted the location of their traffic stops, there were 10 times as many on the money side.
We want both sides of the road worked.
It looks like that they're not concerned about stopping the drugs, that they just want with the money.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Is that the case?
And that shouldn't be the case, but that's what it looks like.
It shows that the police are really focusing not on trying to get the drugs, not on trying to enforce the drug laws and stop that flow throughout the country, They're focused on getting the money.
Law enforcement authorities say their goal is to hit the drug traffickers in the pocketbook, which undoubtedly they have. But some people have hired lawyers after their cash was taken, and sometimes after months and months of litigation, judges have ruled that the money really never had anything to do with drug dealing.
Yeah. LD, let's go. Yeah, Lil D-I-D-I. Can't even wanna with the boy, cause the way I'm living life is a motherfucking joy. I'm some grown man B.I. I could've been a girl or any ethnicity up in the world, but I'm rolling with the top back. I ain't gotta worry where the cops at. I ain't gotta wear from the bra strap. Me and the crew, I'm really doing everything that we like to. Man, it's a damn good day to be a white dude. Hey, I'm living good up in this bitch. Diggy rolling around the city, blowing good up in that weird. I ain't black or Dominican, not Hispanic or Indian, so imprisonment is not a predicament I envision for a white boy. Holla at your mouth, tight boy. Higher than a muff, kite is high boy. They ain't suspicious of Jews. I show contrition, it's cool. Slap on my wrist, get my daddy to choose. One of them top lawyers that be rolling around in this crew. I'm eating chopped soy and balling on a carnival cruise. That's what I do, kid. Happy that my name ain't stupid. Could have been Daquan with a few kids. But now I'm farting over eating the meals. If I ain't got a theme party, I don't be a good will. I'm Dennis Payne, tennis playing, smelling on some Cabernet. And I ain't gay, but if I was, everything would be okay. Look, I know I'm being condescending in my rhymes, but my premium channels mean Tyler Perry's never live. Getting tickets, they sick. I sit at the Eagle 45, where I'm eating when I'm high. Where they eat, I just survive. Food chains. Can't even wanna with the boy, cause the way I'm living life is a motherfucking joy. I'm some grown man B.I. I could've been a girl or any ethnicity up in the world, but I'm rolling with the top back. I ain't gotta worry where the cops at. I ain't gotta wear a f***ing bra strap. Me and the crew, I'm really doing everything that we like to. Man, it's a damn good day to be a white dude. Yeah, it's little D.I. in this bitch. How happy that I'm white, but relieved I ain't a chick. Yo, I never wake up and have to cake on my makeup or straighten hair. I ain't giving a damn, I'm wearing whatever I wanna in this motherfucker. Day up in heels and tummy tucking down, grub except for taking them pills for real. And now I'm bleached, I ain't gotta eat. I ain't bleeding about my penis, smoking the weed. I don't fall asleep because I'm chiefing in disagreements. I participate without weeping, and when I'm freaking, I'm getting dabs, high fives, and all that. My raps going up, and the best hoe is slut. So what up, your boy cut up, but eat butter. And I ain't gotta speak to my mother to still love her. And I've been getting better looking with age, but like I can get who he deserves with a horrible face. I mean, y'all seen Seal, right? That dude scarred the fuck up and dating like models and ish. And I bet like Adele's gotta date somebody who works at like AT&T. I go on dates and never have to worry about getting raped. And I watch a game and never have to worry about how it's played. And I meet a babe and never have to act deliriously faking. If I impregnate, I can pack a bag and be on my way. But good luck, girl. I can't even wanna with the boy, cause the way I'm living life is a motherfucking joy. I'm some grown man B.I. I could've been a girl or any ethnicity up in the world, but I'm rolling with the top back. I ain't gotta worry where the cops at. I ain't gotta wear a f***ing bra strap. Me and the crew, I'm really doing everything that we like to. Man, it's a damn good day to be a white dude. Yeah, I'm happy as f***, man. First off, I'm a dude, so there was a 1 in 2 chance of that sucking. But now, I can run a 7-minute mile. I can defend myself adequately. I can be logical. I can get along with my roommates, watch serious movies without being scared by them. And then on top of that, I'm white, which is like amazing because everybody naturally assumes I'm a great person. I get a fair shot at the life that I deserve. I mean, I can underachieve my way into any college in the country. I get my hair cut at a salon. People always hold the door open for me, which is nice. I never have to get into a fight, like, for social purposes.
Russell Brand, who are you to edit a political magazine?
Well, I just suppose like a person who's being politely asked by an attractive woman. I don't know what the typical criteria is. I don't know many people that edit political magazines. Boris, he used to do one, didn't he? So I'm a person with crazy hair, quite a good sense of humour. Don't know much about politics. I'm ideal.
But is it true you don't even vote?
Yeah, no, I don't vote.
Well, how do you have any authority to talk about politics then?
Well, I don't get my authority from this pre-existing paradigm, which is quite narrow and only serves a few people. I look elsewhere for alternatives that might be of service to humanity. Alternate means alternate political systems.
They being?
Well, I've not invented it yet, Jeremy. I had to do a magazine last week. I've had a lot on my plate. But I say, but here's the thing that it shouldn't do. Shouldn't destroy the planet. Shouldn't create massive economic disparity. Shouldn't ignore the needs of the people. The burden of proof is on the people with the power, not people like doing a magazine.
How do you imagine the people get power?
Well, I imagine there are sort of hierarchical systems that have been preserved through
they
generations.
They get power by being voted in.
Well, you
that's
say that, Jeremy. But
you
like
can't even be asked to vote.
It's quite a narrow prescriptive parameter that changes within the...
In a democracy, that's how it works.
Well, I don't think it's working very well, Jeremy, given that the planet is being destroyed, given that there is economic disparity of a huge degree. What are you saying? There's no alternative. There's no alternative.
No, I'm
just
not saying
system.
That. I'm saying if you Brilliant. Can't be asked to vote, why should we be asked to listen to your political point of view?
You don't have to listen to my political point of view, but it's not that I'm not voting out of apathy. I'm not voting out of absolute indifference and weariness and exhaustion from the lies, treachery, deceit of the political class that has been going on for generations now, and which has now reached fever pitch, where we have a disenfranchised, disillusioned, despondent underclass that are not being represented by that political system. So voting for it is tacit complicity with that system, and that's not something I'm offering up.
Well, why don't you change it then?
I'm trying to.
Well, why don't you start by voting?
I don't think it works. People have voted already, and that's what's created the current paradigm.
When did you last vote?
Never.
You've never, ever voted?
No. Do you think that's really bad?
So you struck an attitude, what, before the age of 18?
Well, I was busy being a drug addict at that point because I come from the kind of social conditions that are exacerbated by an indifferent system that really just administrates for large corporations and ignores the population that
well,
it was voted in to serve.
You're blaming the political class for the fact you had a drug problem?
No. I'm saying I was part of a social and economic class that is underserved by the current political system, and drug addiction is one of the problems it creates when you have huge, underserved, impoverished populations. People get drug problems and also don't feel like they want to engage with the current political system because they see that it doesn't work for them. They see that it makes no difference. They see that they're not served.
I say that it doesn't work for them if they don't bother to vote.
Jeremy, my darling, I'm not saying that the apathy doesn't come from us, the people. The apathy comes from the politicians. They are apathetic to our needs. They're only interested in servicing the needs of corporations. Look at what, ain't the Tories going to court and to taking the EU to court because they're trying to curtail bank bonuses? Is that what's happening at the moment in our country? It is, isn't it?
Yeah, there is.
So what am I going to tune in for that?
You don't believe in democracy. No, you want a revolution, don't you?
The planet is being destroyed. We are creating an underclass. We are exploiting poor people all over the world. And the genuine, legitimate problems of the people are not being addressed by our political class.
All of those things may be true.
They are true.
But you took... I wouldn't argue with you about many of them.
Well, how come I feel so cross with you? It can't just be because of that beard. It's gorgeous.
It's possibly because...
And if the Daily Mail don't want it, I do. I'm against them. Grow it longer. Tangle it into your armpit hair.
You are a very trivial man.
What, do you think I am trivial?
Yes.
A minute ago, you were having a go at me because I want a revolution. Now
no,
I'm trivial.
I'm asking, no,
I'm
but,
bouncing
but I'm not having
place.
A go at you because you want a revolution. Many Good. People want a revolution, but I'm asking you what it will be like.
Well, I think what it won't be like is a huge disparity between rich and poor, where 300 Americans have the same amount of wealth as the 85 million poorest Americans, where there is an exploited and underserved underclass that are being continually ignored, where welfare is slashed while Cameron and Osborne go to court to defend the rights of bankers to continue receiving their bonuses. That's all I'm saying.
What's the scheme? That's all I'm asking. What's the scheme? You talk vaguely about revolution. What is it?
I think a socialist egalitarian system based on the massive redistribution of wealth, heavy taxation of corporations and massive responsibility for energy companies and any companies exploiting the environment. I think they should be... I think the very concept of profit should be hugely reduced. David Cameron says profit isn't a dirty word. I say profit is a filthy word because wherever there is profit, there is also deficit. And this system currently doesn't address these ideas. And so why would anyone vote for it? Why would anyone be interested in it?
Who would levy these taxes?
I think we do need to, there needs to be a centralised administrative system, but built
a government.
On...
Needs to be a government.
Well, we might maybe call it something else. Call them like the admin bods,
right.
So they don't get
and
ahead
And how would
of
they
themselves.
Be chosen?
Jeremy, don't ask me to sit here in an interview with you in a bloody hotel room and devise a global utopian system. I'm merely pointing out that the
You're
current...
You're calling for revolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm calling for change. I'm calling for genuine alternatives.
But there are many people who would agree with you.
Good.
The current system is not engaging with all sorts of problems. Yes. And they feel apathetic.
Mm.
Really apathetic.
Yes.
But if they were to take you seriously, and not to vote.
Yeah, they shouldn't vote. They should. That's one thing they should do. Don't bother voting, because then when it reaches, there's a point. So these little valves, these sort of like little cozy little valves of recycling and Prius and like, you know, turn up somewhere, it stops us reaching the pit point where we think, oh, this is enough now. Stop voting. Stop pretending. Wake up. Be in reality now. Time to be in reality now. Why vote? We know it's not going to make any difference. We know that already. So, you know, I have more impact at West Ham United, cheering them on. And they lost to City unnecessarily Saturday.
Okay, well, now you're being facetious.
Well, facetiousness has as much value as seriousness. I think you're making the mistake of mistaking seriousness.
You're not going to solve world problems by facetiousness.
That's We're not going to solve them with the current system. At least facetiousness is funny.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes, Jeremy. So listen, so let's approach this optimistically. You've spent your whole career berating and haranguing politicians, and then when, like me, a comedian goes, yeah, they're all worthless, what's the point in engaging with any of them? You sort of have a go at me because I'm not poor anymore.
Well, no, I'm not having a go at you about that. I'm just asking you, why we should take you seriously when you're so unspecific?
You don't have to take... Well, firstly, I don't mind if you take me seriously. I'm here just to draw attention to a few ideas. I just want to have a little bit of a laugh. I'm saying there are people with alternative ideas that are far better qualified than I am, and far better qualified, more importantly, than the people that are currently doing that job, because they're not attempting to solve these problems. They're not. They're attempting to placate the population. The measures that are currently being taken around climate change are indifferent, will not solve the problem.
It's possible as human beings they're simply overwhelmed by the scale of the problem.
Not really. Well, possibly it might be that. I mean, but that's sort of just semantics, really. Whether they're overwhelmed by it or tacitly maintaining it because of habitual life. I mean, like, mate, this is what I noticed when I was in the Houses of Parliament. It's decorated exactly the same as Eton. It's decorated exactly the same as Oxford. So a certain type of people goes in there and thinks, oh, this makes me nervous. And another type of people go in there and go, this is how it should be. And I think that's got to change now. We can no longer have erroneous, duplicitous systems held in place unless it's for the only systems that serve the planet and serve the population of the planet can be allowed to survive. Not ones that serve elites, be they a political or corporate elites. And this is what's currently happening.
You don't really believe that.
I completely believe it. Don't look at me all weary, like, well, you're at a fireside with a pipe in your beard.
I mean, Ed Miliband wasn't an elite.
Well, he went to the same primary school as Boris, though, didn't he?
He did, but he then went to a comprehensive school in North London.
Well, that's very good. That's all well and good. But what I'm saying is that within the existing paradigm, the change is not dramatic enough, not radical enough. So you can well understand public disturbances and public dissatisfaction when there are not genuine changes and genuine alternatives being offered. I say when there is a genuine alternative, a genuine option, then vote for that. But until then, don't bother. Why pretend? Why be complicit in this ridiculous illusion?
Because by the time somebody comes along, you might think it worth voting for, it may be too late.
I don't think so, because the time is now. These movements are already occurring. It's happening everywhere. We're in a time where communication is instantaneous, and there are communities all over the world. The Occupy movement made a difference, even if only in that it introduced to the popular public lexicon the idea of the 1% versus the 99%. People, for the first time in a generation, are aware of massive corporate and economic exploitation. These things are not nonsense. And these subjects are not being addressed. No one's doing anything about tax havens. No one's doing anything about their political affiliations and financial affiliations of the Conservative Party. So until people start addressing things that are actually real, why wouldn't I be facetious? Why would I take it seriously? Why would I encourage a constituency of young people that are absolutely indifferent to vote? Why would we? Aren't you bored? Aren't you more bored than anyone? Ain't you been talking to them year after year, listening to their lies, their nonsense? Then it's this one gets in, then it's that one getting in. But the problem continues. Why are we going to continue to contribute to this facade?
I'm surprised you can be facetious when you're that angry about it.
Yeah, I am angry. I am angry. Because for me, it's real. Because for me, it's not just some peripheral thing that I turn up once in a while to a church fate for. For me, this is what I come from. This is what I care about.
Do you see any hope?
Remember that? Yeah, totally. There's going to be a revolution. It's totally going to happen. I think not only I ain't got a flicker of doubt. This is the end. This is time to wake up. I remember I see you in that program where you look at your ancestors and you saw that while your grandmother had to brass herself or got fucked over by the aristocrats who ran her gaff, you cried because you knew that it was unfair and unjust. And that was, what was that, a century ago? That's happening to people now. I just come from a woman who's being treated like that. I've just been talking to a woman today who's being treated like that. So if we can engage that feeling, instead of some moment of lachrymose sentimentality trotted out on the TV for people to pour over emotionally, emotional pawn, if we can engage that feeling and change things, why wouldn't we? Why is that naive? Why is that not my right because I'm an actor? I mean, I've taken the right. I don't need the right from you. I don't need the right from anybody. I'm taking it.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
Sometimes you can tell something is important or pivotal when it starts showing up in multiple and very different areas of life. Like, I imagine when the That's What She Said plague started just taking over America. It was one thing when you heard it from a friend, but the moment you heard it from, like, your dentist, you knew it was something serious that wasn't going away easy. Okay, while I stick this tool in your mouth, this other thing is gonna suck out the spit. That's what she said. Right? No, it doesn't. Doesn't really work on that one, but you get the point. Well, there's a trend steadily spreading across disciplines, genres, and peoples. That trend is a call for revolt from the current system that will, without a shadow of a doubt, pillage this globe until there's nothing left. And according to my calculations, that nothing left moment is in February. So, we should get on that. This week alone, we've seen this call from a pop culture icon and from a scientific model, neither of which are the normal places you hear call for revolutionary change. In an article by Naomi Klein this week, she describes geophysicist Brad Werner's advanced computer model, which addresses, and these are his words, whether we're f***ed. Apparently, in his computer model, Werner used system boundaries, perturbations, dissipation, attractors, and my old favorite, bifurcations, to come up with a complex systems theory. Now, if you were to ask me, I would say with great certainty that that dude made up those words. But apparently, they're real words. So what did this computer model find? Well, to quote Naomi Klein, global capitalism has made the depletion of resources so rapid, convenient, and barrier-free that Earth-human systems are becoming dangerously unstable. When pressed as to whether we're f***ed, Werner responded, more or less. Well, sounds like Professor Werner is not much fun to have at cocktail parties. He is off my list! He is off my list. I will replace him with fellow hairy comedian Russell Brand, who knows how to keep a party rocking. Ah, shit. Et tu, Brandy? Oh, man, what the fuck? Well, at least Russell Brand sees some hope. You're probably wondering, does Mr. Science Says We're Fucked see any hope, or is he just a negative Nancy? Yes, Werner said there was a single dynamic in the model that offered some hope against the terminal ransacking of Earth. That dynamic is resistance. Meaning, quote, groups of people who adopt a certain set of dynamics that does not fit within the capitalist culture. Meaning, environmental direct action, protest, blockades, and sabotage, unquote. Basically, when a profiteering greed monkey says, we're going to lay down some fracking pipe, people have to respond, that's what she said! Oh, just remember to also go f*** yourself. There's only three things you need to know to understand that getting to this tipping point was inevitable. Number one, our capitalist system requires infinite growth. Because of the ever-growing debt that is built in, it's built in. Once our system stops growing, it falls apart. Number two, the system seeks profit over all else. It will never, ever move towards making a better world. It will only move towards profit. In the times where it has created a better world, it was a lucky side effect. In fact, corporations are legally obligated to seek profit. Legally, it's in the law. Nowhere in the law does it say, and don't forget to look after the salmon. Yeah, the wild salmon. Look after those fellas too. Number three, we have finite resources. The system cannot grow forever, but it has to. Just like a hot dog eating competition, the rules are keep eating. Even if there were no time limit, eventually you'd run out of hot dogs, but the rules would still say keep eating, so then you'd have to turn to your competitor and eat him. This moment we're now at, or almost at, was inevitable all along. Sure, if we had a bigger planet or technology, it might have taken longer, but still, it was inevitable. And now, the weird scientific model says we have exactly one chance of fighting back. Revolt. Big, small, physical, mental, revolt against profit, revolt against advertising, revolt against corporate news and consumerist amusement, revolt against a way of life that isn't working for almost anyone anymore. You can feel it in the air, everywhere, from the arts to the sciences to pop culture. It's in us, it's growing, and it feels so good.
Now, go find the others.com.
Don't blow it. Keep it simple. Count your money.